Fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these, except Michael, your prince. Chapter 11. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sue, so much for reading the Bible for us just then. Do keep it open in front of you, page 748, Daniel chapter 10. That will help you a lot as we get into this amazing bit of the Bible that we've got open in front of us today. I'm going to pray, though, very briefly and ask God to help us. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations, the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So what do you do when life doesn't go the way you thought it would? When the thing you prayed for finally arrived, but it's nothing like you hoped? When something unexpected and unwelcome happens, and you're left asking God, why? What do you do then? Well, that is Daniel chapter 10. We know when Daniel chapter 10 happened because in verse 1 it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. We know exactly when this happened. And it happened when the people of God had been waiting for 70 years to return back to their homeland. They'd been waiting in exile for 70 years and their return had now finally begun. That's when it happened. But we know from Ezra chapter 4 that it wasn't glorious. Instead, it was deeply frustrating. Instead of peace in the promised land, there was opposition. Instead of progress, there were setbacks. Instead of clarity, there was confusion. This was not the return that Daniel and God's people had been hoping for. And Daniel is left asking why. He's been praying about it. We read that last week, or 2 weeks ago, didn't we? It's not the return, though, that he had been asking for. Have a look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3 with me. And we see the way there that Daniel is responding. Do you see it down there in verse 2? In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. He was sad. He was confused. He was broken. He'd been fasting. He'd been praying. And now he's asking the Lord that question. Why, Lord? What are you doing? Oh, have you ever been in a situation like that? Or perhaps you're in it right now. Well, our passage speaks into that moment when you're left asking God why. Our passage speaks into that today. And so the question that we have in our minds as we come to Daniel chapter 10 is this. It's on the screen behind me. What do you do when all you can do is ask God why? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and that question makes sense a bit, but it doesn't make sense so much because perhaps you don't believe in God. But this question of why is a question we all ask all the time, isn't it? We look around at the news, we think about what's happening in our church family, and we say, why, God? Why is this happening? Well, Daniel chapter 10 gives us a remarkable answer. Listen in, whether you're a follower of Jesus or you're not, and we're going to see amazing things. Because here in Daniel chapter 10, we see God. We see God in his immeasurable kindness. We see him pulling back the curtain to show Daniel and to show us what's going on behind the scenes. We're going to see three things this morning that are deeply, deeply reassuring. And we're going to see them in turn. So let's keep our Bibles open. And the first thing that we see is down there in verses 5 and 6. And this is our first point. So Daniel is 3 weeks into this season of mourning, of fasting, of praying. And he's given a vision. Do you see it down there in verses 5 and 6? He's given a vision of this glorious, mysterious figure. We've met all kinds of people in Daniel, haven't we? Some of them are straightforward, some of them are really confusing. Who is this one, though? Well, different people have different opinions. There's pages and pages that have been written about it. I'm happy to talk to you afterwards about it if you'd like. But I'm convinced of this that I'm about to share with you. I'm convinced that the person that he sees in verses 5 and 6 is far more glorious than any of the angels that we've met before. Let's have a look. Have a look at verse 5 and 6. Daniel lifts up his eyes, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz round his waist. Verse 6. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. When we read that passage in the light of the rest of the Bible, it becomes quite clear, I think, who this is. I wonder, Esther, can we put Revelation chapter 1, 13 to 16 on the screen? You've got it there. Keep your Bible open in front of you on Daniel 10. And I'm just going to have this on the screen behind us and kind of compare the two, and we'll see who this is. So Revelation 1, 13 to 16, that's going to be on the screen, describes the risen Lord Jesus in power and glory. And there are huge similarities between this and Daniel 10. So Daniel in chapter 10 describes this person as, verse 6, having a face like the appearance of lightning. Well, Revelation 1:16 describes his face as like the sun shining in full strength. Daniel 10 verse 6 talks about how this person has eyes like flaming torches. Or Revelation 1:14 talks about the risen Lord Jesus with eyes like a flame of fire. Daniel verse 6 describes this person as having arms and legs that were like the gleam of burnished bronze. Or Revelation 1:15 talks about how his feet, in the Greek, that could be feet or legs, were like burnished bronze. Daniel 10 verse 6 talks about this person having the sound of his words when he speaks is like the sound of a multitude. That's the roar of a huge crowd. Imagine a football stadium cheering, all of them roaring in one go. Well, Revelation 1:15, Jesus' voice was like the roar of many waters. Who is this? Who is it that Daniel sees? Well, it's the Son of God. But before he took human flesh. This is our Lord Jesus, but before he became a baby. Just try and wrap your head around that for a moment. This is the pre-incarnate Son of God, the one who created all things in the beginning, who upholds everything by the word of his power. All powerful, all glorious, ruling over everything in the entire universe. Remember that question that Daniel was asking? He was confused, wasn't he? He was hurting, he was mourning, and he's asking that question, God, why are you doing this? Well, God answers, but he doesn't answer with an explanation. He answers by showing himself to Daniel. He's not saying why things are happening this way. He's showing him who he is. God is showing Daniel that he's the one who created all things. He's the one who rules all things. He's showing him that he's the one who's bigger, more powerful, more glorious than anyone else and everything else, than anything else and everything else that you can possibly imagine. And friends, this is our Lord Jesus that we're seeing here right now. He's glorious beyond comparison. He's almighty over all things. He's so good that it takes your breath away. It's so easy when we see difficult things happening in our lives or in our world or in our church family. It's so easy to look around and feel like God has lost control. It's easy to feel that, isn't it? But this God that we're seeing here in Daniel 10:5-6, this God is too strong to lose control. It might look like he's doing something unkind, but this God is too good to be unkind. It might look like he's made a mistake, but this God is too wise to be mistaken. And I think that's really reassuring. So that question we've got, what do we do when it doesn't seem to go to plan? Well, the first thing that we do is we remember that this is our God. And we look to him. We look to him, the King who rules over all things. That's our first point. But the story continues. Have a look down at verse 7. The people who were with Daniel at that point in time, well, they're terrified. It's understandable, isn't it? They're terrified and they run away. Verse 8, well, Daniel sees the Lord, but his strength is sapped. He's become awestruck, just like all the others in the Old Testament that see God in his holiness. Verse 9, Daniel hears the Lord's words, but he faints immediately. He falls into a deep sleep. And so we don't know what he heard because he fell asleep straight away at the sound of this glorious voice. And then at some point later, have a look down at verse 10. At some point later, Daniel is woken up by someone else. This new character, he's an angel. Do you see verse 10? Behold, introducing a new person, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Daniel is terrified still, but he lifted up and set on his hands and knees. This angel touches Daniel's shoulder and begins to tell him even more about the Lord he's just seen. And we see here our second point. So our second point down there in verses 11 to 19. And we see here the Saviour who cares for his people. So this angel, this second person in the story, this angel speaks and he highlights for Daniel several ways that his master, that's the pre-incarnate Son of God that we've just seen, several ways that he cares for his people. So this messenger angel says, well, have a look down at verse 11 with me. He says, "O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you." Did you spot the way that Daniel is described there? Did you spot it? He's described as a man who is greatly loved. That word, greatly loved, carries a sense of being precious, of being delighted in, of being treasured. Now think about that for a second. Daniel is, he's confused, he's grieving, he's exhausted. But this is how God sees him. He's seen as precious, delighted in, treasured, loved. The glorious Lord Jesus, the one that we've just seen, that's blazing with power and beauty in verses 5 to 6, looks at Daniel with that kind of love, and he looks at you with that kind of love as well. Not with reluctance, but with delight. So friends, whatever you're walking through at the moment, don't ever mistake hardship for abandonment. Because this God loves you. Because if you belong to him, you are deeply loved by him, just like Daniel was. But look, there's more. We've seen that he deeply loves his people. Have a look down at verse 10, at verse 12. The messenger angel says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Did you see there that the angel tells Daniel that his words have been heard? Daniel might have been tempted to think, maybe God hasn't been listening to his prayers. He might have been thinking, "God, did you even hear what I was praying in chapter 9? And what about these 3 weeks of prayer and fasting? Have you actually heard me at all?" Daniel might have been tempted to think that such an awesome God had no time to listen to little old him. So maybe you're wondering that today. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been praying for days, weeks, months, years for something, and there only seems to be silence from God. Maybe that's you here this morning. But no, Daniel's words have been heard. He's greatly loved, and so why would he not be listened to? Just for a second, just imagine a powerful king sitting in his throne rooms. Important discussions are happening. People are coming in and going out, important, big, busy people. But they've got appointments. People can't just walk up to this king. Appointments need to be made. Protocol needs to be followed. And then a little child runs in and runs straight up to the throne and sits on the king's lap. You can't do that. You can't do that at all unless... unless it's the king's child, in which case they run straight in over to their dad and sit on their dad's lap and whisper things into their dad's ear. And the king doesn't send them out. The king listens. The king listens because he loves them, because they're his child. Friends, it might feel like God hasn't heard your prayers, but we just saw that he deeply loves all of you. So he listens. He listens, even if the answer is no or not yet. Our God has heard and is listening because he deeply loves you. So that's the second thing we see there about how he cares for us. Our words have been heard. But look, there's more still. There's even more here. The third thing we see down here in our second point is down there in verses 13 to 19. You see, the angel has come to Daniel, verse 14, have a look down there, to help him understand. That's exactly what Daniel has been praying for. He's been praying, why? This angel has come to help him to understand. And so God speaks to Daniel through his messenger angel. But he doesn't tell Daniel everything. God doesn't answer every question, but he does tell him what Daniel needs to know. This glorious king that we saw at the start, that rules over all things, that loves, well, he speaks. And that matters because Daniel is exhausted, he's overwhelmed, he's weak, he's confused, and he's struggling to keep going. So King Jesus helps him, not by immediately changing his circumstances, not by removing his hardships, but by speaking, by revealing what is going on, by reminding him that there's a bigger story, that there's a bigger battle, that he continues to be king who is completely in control. Have a look down at verse 19 with me. Daniel says, as he spoke to me, that's as God spoke to him through this messenger angel, I was strengthened. That's how God works. So often, that's how he works. He strengthens us, his people, through his words. He doesn't always tell us everything we want to know. You're probably sitting here thinking, what about this detail? What about that detail? We don't know everything that's going on in this bit of the Bible. But he tells us what we need to know. And in hearing him, we are given strength to keep going. And that is why it's so important that we keep coming to church, that we might sit under the preaching of God's word. It's why it's so important that we keep on reading our Bibles with each other, whether it's around our dinner table as families, or in discipleship groups, or in youth, in children's groups, or with students, or whether it's at home with our friends. It's so important that we keep on reading or listening to our Bibles, perhaps even by yourself. The road ahead is difficult, but this caring Saviour, who loves, listens, and strengthens by speaking, well, he will keep us going. So let's keep on looking to him. That's the second reassuring thing in our passage. But what was it that was causing Daniel such heartache? Now, on the surface, we know from Ezra chapter 4 that there was human opposition. The rebuilding had started back in the Promised Land, but God's people were being resisted. There was human opposition. But here in Daniel chapter 10, God pulls back the curtain. He doesn't show us himself, but he shows what's going on. Let's have a look at our third point. And it's down there in verse 13 and verses 20 to 21. And our third point is that we look to the victor who will win. Have a look down at verse 13. The angel says to Daniel that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now, in Daniel, where it says the word prince, it usually doesn't mean prince in a human sense. It means kind of an angel of some sort. And in Daniel, these princes, they're spiritual powers, they're angels that are kind of connected to earthly kingdoms. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. There's loads more we can say at that point right now. Come talk to me afterwards if you want. But the main point is this. Behind the visible human opposition, there's a spiritual, invisible opposition. And it doesn't just stop with Persia, because if you look down at verse 20, Persia gives way to Greece, and this invisible spiritual conflict continues. We're not reading Daniel chapter 11 this week. You can read it later on if you want to, but the main point is this: kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, but behind them all there's a spiritual battle that keeps on going on. And that's the point for Daniel's asking why all this is happening, and he's told here that the delays, the frustrations, the disappointments, they're not random. There's a spiritual war going on. There's a real conflict going on. But here's the point as well. The glorious truth of chapter 10 is that this awesome Lord that Daniel saw at the start of the chapter, he is reigning over it all. The battle is real. There will be ups, there will be downs. There will be times when evil seems to win. Times when God's purposes seem delayed. But the outcome is never in doubt. It's never in doubt. This Lord Jesus, he fights for his people. The battle belongs to him, not to us. And he wins. He wins for them. Ultimately, he wins at the cross. Colossians 2:15 says this, that the Lord Jesus there disarmed the rulers and authorities, the angel rulers and authorities. Satan himself, he triumphed over them at the cross. So on the cross, Jesus declared, it is finished. The battle belongs to him. And though the battle continues, the battle has been won. And that is the third reassuring thing that we're shown, that Daniel is shown. Jesus is the victor. He wins. And that is deeply reassuring. So as we come to a close, at the start we asked that question, what do you do when all you can do is ask God why? Well, amidst the confusion, amidst the mourning, amidst the hurt, we look to this Jesus. He's the King who rules. He's the Saviour who loves. And he's the victor who wins. Amen. Musicians, if you'd like to come and get ready. We're going to take a quick moment, just a quiet reflection. Jesus is the King who rules. He's the Saviour who loves.